Yeah.
It could be.
That's fine. You're under control.
Yeah.
Okay, we will move on fast because we're doing three speaker sessions before, in total, before you get a break. Hand over to Nebosa, who will be talking about the inquiry with the workers in the mall.
Thank you. So, as a short introduction, I would start with the title of the exhibition of the curatorial team from Zagreb, Croatia, to promote the region a little bit. And the exhibition was organized on the occasion of 150 years of first publishing of Communist Manifesto. And title was What, How, and For Whom? And it is very interesting that in Eastern Europe, many of like ambitious political initiatives are conveyed into the public sphere through the field of art. So they were like the only ones interested in discussing what is the present importance or possible impact of communist ideas on the occasion of 150 years anniversary. And I think that these three questions, what, how, and for whom, are there as a good guidelines for understanding any project in area where I live and work, which was called Yugoslavia, and for some very bad reasons are called today Balkans or Eastern Europe. Okay, so what? This was inquiry into the situation of workers in Bor, city in Eastern Serbia, mining city, miner city, developed and completely dependent on the production of copper. Some 30,000 people live there, out of which 8,000 people are still employees of big combinet. So our idea was, let's hear what they think, since workers are not supposed to think in transition. And then we had like, maybe they really want to think, they have what to say, and the aim of the inquiry was to like to scan the position of workers in the situation of economical collapse of entire economy in the country, and specifically of the company they spend their lives working in. So, how? We did it in relation to the project of French anthropologist or sociologist Sylvain Lazaris, who made these inquiries in factories where there was like conflict between management and workers, because many of the workers should have been fired, and then there were negotiations and struggles, and these inquiries of Sylvain Lazaris took part there in order to locate and to detect so-called prescriptive thinking of workers. When I say prescriptive, I don't have idea if I'm clear. Like, this is thinking that prescribes, that tells this is the law now, this is how it is. So this is how it is translated into Serbian. I don't know if it in English it sounds so convenient. In fact, it was like, let's do the inquiry and maybe we detect and come up with some ideas how the things could be treated and related to, because, you know, in transition after economical collapse, the only like ideological constellation that can cope with it is heavy, a very conservative nationalism and overall regression of society. Any parameters you like, you can take, and it will be the same conclusion. So how we did it? We derived our questions exactly from the texts of Lazaris. They are here in bibliography, like these are discussions in factory. So we didn't have his materials, we just derived questions. And we were going to his like notion of anthropology of word. Like, what is word? How the word, for example, privatization, is treated by ruling elite in power and what workers think about privatization. So is privatization this or that? And then questions were like, after introductory ones, where they presented themselves and there are data about how long they work in factory, etc., etc. Questions were like, okay, who owns the factory? Then like, after that goes like, okay, there is a big debt to the factory. Who owns that debt? Who is there to pay for it? Is the redundancy payment something that that is fair? Is it fair at all to offer redundancy payment? And there is a range of answers. Everything will be and is already on the internet, on the website of the organization that enabled us to do this. This is a small NGO in the city of Bor. And in fact, our like outcome would open this question for whom. But before that, I would like to say that we, since Lazaris' method was to make discussions of their working place. Like, you don't, there is no management around, you don't do it in directors, in manager's office, you do it at their working place. And you, of course, have to negotiate before that entire process. So, just to mention that it was not core research, as I would describe, as like everybody, I suppose, that know what is core research when workers interview each other, or something that I would describe as participative or observational inquiry, like the one that you can see in a book of Kolinko group. They are here, I don't see them, yes. So I think that their research in workers in calling centers is something that is participative observation, since they were employees in that centers and this is how they did their research. It was like more a distance inquiry. We employed people from Bor to make these interviews in the fabric. So it was like interviews supposed to last maybe 1 hour, maybe even more, but they were like 10 to 15 minutes. Anyway, they are all in the in this compact disc. So far, compact disc is only in Serbian, but all texts that followed, analytical texts, are translated into English. And yeah, this is like age of the interviewee, his qualification, the person that did the interview, transcript, and there were two transcripts, since the interviewers made their own transcripts, but we were not satisfied with them because they were not precise. So we made another version of transcripts. They're both available, and recordings of the interviews, which is like the part that attracts some attention so far. Because when we are there and this question for whom, I can only say that this conference is the first like organized body that showed an interest in this. So, in fact, some people that study, it's linguistically also interesting because Bor is a place which was very attractive for people from all over Yugoslavia. So you have different accents. Nationalism is not so strong there. And like then there is, it is very interesting when you have this like word like job or work, since situation is like they go to work, but there is no job. They are employed, but there are no wages. So this is some voidness in organization of like parameters within which one could recognize the problems of that community. And the problems of community are problems of entire city, since entire city depends on the copper production. So it's very interesting when you hear in answers like slipperies and a characteristic when there is a question about job and question about privatization, then things are getting hard, you know. And this is why we made another transcript, because it is not same if you have in the transcript like the answer immediately after the question, and when you have three dots and then again three dots and again three dots, because you can see that the interviewer is thinking hardly how to answer the questions. So basically this is what we done, and so like there is a very critical simultaneous process in for an entire like setting on transition, which is like over. It is not in the process, it is over. So now 2% of the people own 90% of social capital, and now we are equal to the rest of the world. Okay, so before it was on the contrary. So it's over, and now we can only see what is there to do or not to do. I think that we didn't come up with some impressive results in terms of like developing ideas how to cope with entire situations. Since, for example, in Lazarus' work, it was like situation in factory, and they want to pay redundancy only to the workers that sign the contract about being fired. And then workers also, in relation to inquiries that Lazarus did, they have meetings and they discuss and they come up with another solution. And this is this prescriptive thinking. No. Everybody is getting redundancy. It is we that decide who is worker and who is not worker, and not management. And there is no discussion after that. They had to pay to everybody redundancy. Because policy was, okay, the ones that signed the contract, that they give up their working place, they get. The others do not get. And they all come together, and his inquiries included many important issues about immigrants on work, etc., etc. So, I mean, like, what is problematic as well is that the percentage of the copper in the ore is decreasing all the time. As entire complex and factory was becoming more and more attractive for privatization, the percentage of the copper in the ore was decreasing. So it's like, it is possible, it is maybe like that, but it is so like the strategy of private capital, ruin the factory and then buy it on a cheap price. So this is what was going on all the time. And in fact, this crisis is we don't know what to do because there is no copper in the ore. We don't know what to do because we are still somehow employed, although we don't get some wages, but there is kind of social security. And in the end, there were like two outcomes. One would be what is the immaterial work of that old people. On the presentation in Bor of that project, where hardly few workers appeared, only people from management and from syndicate, they said like, okay, I mean, there is discussion between people that are present, but okay, we want to be employed, but there is no work for us. We all know that we all go to a factory and we don't do nothing. But then a philosopher that participated in this this project, and who in fact proposed Lazarus method to be introduced, he said, how they don't do nothing? Why they go to a factory? But they go just to sit. They cannot sit. Why they go? I mean, why they receive their wages? But in fact, so this is the answer of the people from Bor, they guard the social contract in that way. And then this philosopher said, okay, what they do is that guard the social contract. This is their job at the moment. So just to... Yeah, it's, so on the other hand, there was like, you have to dig up, you know, the hill of the ore now to get like one piece like that of copper. And now, but there is also gold, you know, in that, like in almost every metallogenic ore. And what we had, there was also a grain of gold, you know. There was one answer that went this way, like a question about transition. What is transition? Is it fair? Is it not? And his answer was, we don't need transition, we need the new beginning. And this was like the grain of gold in this project, because this is really something, and we are satisfied with that. But on the other hand, just to mention that these people there cannot relate to the problems of mobility and migration, because they cannot leave their place. In that terms, they're quite symptomatic for entire, let's say, region or southeastern Europe, because if they sell their flat, this is 5,000 euros. And they cannot move even to the next city. So no mobility, no antagonism, because for a guarding social contract, it's pretty good salary. And no precariousness, because no one is threatening them for a possibility of being fired, but no work as well. And I'm afraid that after contacts with some people that work for syndicates here, and especially with the problems that they have with immigration workers, although the Lazarus result, there's no immigration workers and workers, there are only workers results. So, but anyway, what they will change for work and salary, is losing the interest for social contract. And this is why so-called immigrated workers are not so much interested in a social contract in the countries where they live. And this is why I see these events in America, that United States, that took place now, that these people openly appear in the streets. This is the request for a new social contract, obviously. And I think that the impossibility, incapability of mainstream media to deal with this is the proof for that. Okay? So, that would be all, more or less. I could just offer you to read a text. There is a text about... We had an engineer in the team who participated in all decisions of the management in the factory. So his text is, since when there was no copper in the ore? Like, our question was, did workers know that the percentage of copper is decreasing? And did they deal with this? Did they want it to be engaged in that problem? There is a question. There is a text by a psychologist that lives there, which is titled after the Robert Musil's "A Man Without Characters," so worker without characters, and there is text from the Vladimir Markovich, whom we call Vlad Marx. For some reason, about thinking the situation in Combiné, where he gives some statistics, which is, by the way, used, for example, by anarcho syndicates. They just put it in their magazine, you know, with no any reference there, where they found the results of the enquete, etc. So, I mean, this is also something that I could just have a personal reflection. We are not professionals in that, in this. We are not experts. We were just interested. There was opportunity. This NGO had opportunity to fundraise a small grant for something important for the place, and this is what we offered, and this is how this came into existence. I'm afraid that a part of this grain of gold, we fell into a trap of superior academic knowledge that was very, very, very favorite in former Yugoslavia. Like, you had this logoria and scribomania, you know, as a state project. And everything was clear, and everybody was aware of crisis of self-management and crisis of the only country in Europe that wasn't named after the nation, except Belgium, for example. But everybody was clear, everything was clear, but we were helpless to resist war, to resist privatization. People simply gave up. I mean, this is the situation. Thank you.
Right, we have a good... batch of time for questions and comments. And as usual, Jan is virtually
in terms of information.
Go.
Does this inquiry take place? How long? When was it?
Yes.
And do you have now news from the people you interviewed?
Yes. It happened 2.5 years ago. And hardly anything new is there. I mean, there are struggles ran by state syndicate that, like, just appear in front of the state, meaning they come to the highway and stop European petite bourgeois tourists from going to Greece. And then there is great panic, and then state says, okay, we're going to subsidize you further. Because how they live is that they produce copper, but this copper is not, you cannot sell it. I mean, his production price is higher than its value on the market. So this is how the things are.
Isn't that basic income they have? Question. And I think in France, I remember reading about the Bulgarian steel workers, when they got a basic income for basically doing nothing, but actually created a vibrant local social life. Could you observe something similar there?
Unfortunately, in Bor it is not the case. Since yes, it could be basic income if you consider income of 50 euros a month as basic income, which is in Bor, it is basic income, because it's like, for even for Serbia and for Southeastern Europe, it is a very poor place. But in fact, no one takes it as such. No one takes it as basic income. Everybody takes it, in fact, as a mercy. This is mercy from the state. And this position of being like the one that is object of a mercy brings to overall like depression in people. There is certain in the cultural field, there is something that could be called anti-Borism, especially with the young generation, which really kind of hate their city, and they can, I mean, this is like other problem, but in fact the why state is subsidizing, there are other factories that are in crisis, like car industry in Kragujevac in central Serbia, which is not subsidized. But because Bor is somehow paradigmatic city, symptomatic city for entire state, because it has its great period, it has its golden era, and now it is like, it is disaster. And maybe because of that paradigmatic charge, no one can realistically deal. Although the latest development is that, of course, one of the most successful international mining companies bought the right to investigate copper in that area from the state. I mean.
I was thinking about what he said, that there's no struggle and no antagonism, and then he said that the state union does go out onto the street, blockade the highway, and then force more subsidies, which relates to some reason that there's a collective, Escanda, where Ziggy lives, in Asturias, in Spain, which is a deindustrializing region. Probably in some level not too dissimilar, because capital, by and large, big capital, can't profitably be there without large state subsidies. And a lot of the workers' income is more or less directly comes from the state, which means that maybe you were looking for the antagonism not entirely in the right place, because there's obviously a different social composition going on there, it's a different set of social relationships. So if maybe there is antagonism, maybe quite a bit of strength, because obviously these workers have a lot of power. They have the power by blocking a strategic artery to force the state to pay their wages. But I don't think you might get paid to guard a certain property.
Yeah, you're right. The point is that now it's obvious that there is some perspective in production of copper there. My question, where I would like to see antagonism is no. We don't want any company, not foreign or domestic. We're gonna transfer entire focus of the entire combine of the entire industry to a new place. And there is a logistics, there is personal, there is knowledge to do that. But for some people, for some reason, people gave up. And these reasons are ideological reasons. And these reasons are related to international affairs, to this pressure of privatization, of transition, where people are not supposed to think. And this is the level where I could expect antagonism. We see that we still have a chance. We depend on the copper production. Let's try. Let's make one collective attempt to do. Let's. Why don't we search for a partner abroad, and go on with the exploration of the ore? But state has to do this, and we are satisfied with the mercy that we get. This is very complex, and this goes to the question of how. What is the ideological vehicle of transition?
In terms of the theme of the conference on material labour and other concepts like precarious labour, etc., you made some throwaway comments saying, no, there was no material labour, there was no precarious labour, etc., etc. I mean, is that your view that basically these concepts in the current political or ideological struggle that you're facing in Serbia and maybe the next Yugoslavia as a whole don't actually make much sense, i.e. could one say that they are Western concepts?
Yeah, I mean, all entire Europe is, you can treat it rather like banlieue de Paris compared to the students, intellectual elite at the Sorbonne, or better as a colony, like this is colony. So, as in any colonial relation, you have a 5% of people that participate in colonization and benefit from it, and they share all problems that colonial, empires have, you know, like that are discussed here, in fact. I'm sorry. And 90% of the people cannot relate to this. I mean, there is no infrastructure, there is no setting to get to that problem still. So you can be a precarious worker as I am, since I participate in this colonial policy in this or another way. You can be in a situation of precarious worker, but I mean, you don't share the impetus of the problem here. It's something, it's equal of the problem.
Just a quick one. Yeah.
It was about the sort of political perspective of the project, really, because you talked about like a kind of sociological research, but I mean, how clear were you about your political perspective kind of to those workers? And did you after you've done the project and things, did you then go back and speak to them, either just to show the results, but also in that process, was it in any way kind of agitation or sharing your perspective about how that does fit into capitalism? Yeah. Did you share that back with the workers?
This is how Kolinko practice gives to right questions. I mean, we were a classical NGO project, which is like there to map opportunities and not to use them. I mean, in political sense of it, you know, like just to like we did all except of what was necessary to give these results back to the workers, and it was not without reason, since we're really afraid if we didn't work enough to come with our own methodology, we just transferred externally developed methodology, although it was realized in China and South America, etc. But anyway, because it was self-management for 50 years. It's not a joke. I mean, the common dream partly was a common reality in former Yugoslavia. So in former Yugoslavia, you had the situation of anybody produces how much can and takes how much he or she wants. There was that situation, so it's not necessary maybe only to dream about it, maybe we can share some experiences. So, I mean, yes, this was a problem, and NGO sector is always that problem. You will hear high slogans, very fancy mottos about human rights, about minority issues, etc., etc., but not related to core economical roots of that problems. It is like, let's change it in the way it appears, and that's all.
Okay, just a very quick couple of points. First, to say that I really like the idea of having a philosopher in a workers' inquiry group. This is something perhaps we could pursue in our other inquiry activities. And second, could I request on behalf of the conference that you find some channel by which you can tell the people who were involved in the inquiry that we have in fact been discussing the project here and the situation?
Of course, I only have to say that I offered to Vladmarx before myself to come here and present the project, but he didn't want.
Right, thank you very much for the presentation.